Welcome to Eternal Christendom, consecrated to Our Lady for the glory of our Lord. I am Joshua Charles. So today is an exciting day for us because we're going to do the first of a type of episode we're going to do many, many more of, and we're calling it the Papal Snapshot. Very simple concept. We're going to take one document from the history of the church. The overwhelming majority of them will be from the ancient period, the church fathers. And we're going to see what this document says about papal authority, what it reveals about papal authority. The reason we're doing this is because ultimately, I want to be able to provide as many of you as possible the receipts, as some of you joke about me bringing the receipts as far as why somebody should be Catholic and seeing evidence for it in the ancient period and seeing that it actually is the church that Jesus Christ founded. So the papal snapshot will be a way of showing all of those receipts. Some of them will be a bit longer. Some of them will be quite a bit shorter because sometimes you'll only see something very brief about the papacy. Sometimes you'll see quite a bit more about it in some of these documents. So this very, very first one will be about a pagan historian who acknowledges, quote, what he calls the higher authority of the bishop of the eternal city. And that's about, it takes place about AD 355. But before we get into that, I again, as always, wanted to thank all of our patrons out there. We've been very moved, very touched by the levels of support coming in. It's increasing literally weekly. I want to remind everybody, we have 5 masterpieces to build. This podcast is just number one. It's the podcast, it's Eternal Christendom Audio, Eternal Christendom Classics, Eternal Christendom Bible, and Eternal Christendom Digital Cathedral. This is going to take many years, a lot of support, so we deeply appreciate the patrons that's already come in, and if you are not a patron but would like to be one, you can always go to eternalchristendom.com and click the button at the top right, which says Become a Patron. And on there, you'll find 6 ways to give. You can do online giving. You can do donor advised funds. You can do IRA gifts. You can do stocks. You can just mail a check, old snail mail fashion. And you can even put Eternal Christendom into your estate planning and plan giving. That's a huge way that a lot of apostolates are able to really get what they need to do what God has called them to do. So again, thank you all for that. And with that, we will move on. But first, we're going to do the verses of the day. Now, today, obviously, because it's the very first papal snapshot, we're going to cover some papal verses in Scripture. And I'm just going to read the verses. We're not going to dive into them now. We're not going to read these verses for every papal snapshot, but we thought it'd be fitting on the very first one. So the very first one is probably the most famous, and it comes from Matthew 16, verses 18 to 19. And this is our Lord speaking to Peter. He says, quote, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Unquote. The next one again are some words of our Lord to St. Peter. This is right before he is killed on the cross, and it's from Luke 22, verses 31 to 32. Quote, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brethren." Unquote. Next one comes from the beginning of the Gospel of John. Similarly, it's at the very beginning of our Lord's ministry, when he's beginning to pick out the apostles. And this is that verse. Quote, "Jesus looked at him," namely Peter, "and said, so you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Unquote. And for those of you who are just listening on audio, which means Peter is actually in Scripture. I'm not just adding that. Peter, Cephas was the Aramaic name for Peter. And Peter was the Greek form of that name. Cephas meaning rock. The next one comes from the end of John's Gospel. And this is right before our Lord returns to heaven. And this is what this one says. Quote, "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. A second time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep." Unquote. The final one is, I think, a verse that is actually quite important to papal claims, but of course, we'll be digging into that in future episodes. And it comes from Acts 15:7, which is during the Council of Jerusalem. Quote, "Peter rose and said to the brethren, brethren, you know that in the early days God made choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe." Unquote. So now we'll move on to the roadmap. I already described it a little earlier, but we'll go over it a little bit more detail. The roadmap for this very first papal snapshot, it concerns the acknowledgement of the, quote, higher authority of the bishop of the Eternal City by the pagan historian Ammianus Marcellinus, and it relates to an event that took place about AD 355. The roadmap is as follows. Our thesis is that this account provides good evidence that in the mid-4th century, that's the mid-300s, the superior authority of the Pope was known not only to pagan historians, but Arian-friendly Roman emperors such as Constantius, who is mentioned by Ammianus. We'll show this by providing historical context for the events described, then quoting the account of Ammianus Marcellinus, then summarizing the conclusions we believe can be reasonably inferred from this account. So let's start with a little historical context. In the aftermath of the Council of Nicaea in 325, about 30 years prior, the doctrinal division between Catholics and the Arians continues to divide the Roman world. Again, for those of you who may not know, Arians did not believe that Christ was divine, but they were playing all sorts of games to basically get people to think otherwise many times. But one of the greatest champions who saw through their games of the Nicene definition that affirmed the divinity of Christ was, as I'm sure most of you know, St. Athanasius of Alexandria. And a quick note here, a friend of mine, Alec Torres, he's a former White House colleague, we wrote a book called Persecuted from Within, and it goes through different saints and how they endured crises in the church. That's actually the subtitle of the book. And we have a whole chapter devoted to St. Athanasius. So in case any of you are interested, you can go there. So Athanasius was a constant target of Arian plots and was exiled from his diocese at least 5 times. And by the time of the event recorded by Ammianus Marcellinus, St. Athanasius had been condemned by several Eastern councils of bishops, including the Synod of Tyre in 335 and the Synod of Antioch in 341. The synod being referenced here in Ammianus' account is the Synod of Milan in 355, which was originally intended to be a general council like Nicaea, an ecumenical council. As Emperor Constantius, who was emperor of the entire empire, not just the West, desired to obtain doctrinal uniformity throughout the empire. After the synod, which was co-opted by Arians and condemned St. Athanasius, Constantius asked Pope Liberius to approve of the sentence against him. Pope Liberius refused, and in response, the emperor banished him from Rome. The church historian Sozomen also mentions the incident, and St. Athanasius also discusses this and other incidents related to the persecution of Pope Liberius, and he observed, quote, "These impious men," referring to the Arians and their allies, "reasoned thus with themselves, if we can persuade Liberius, we shall soon prevail over all," unquote. That would be worth an entire papal snapshot on its own, and one day that document will get one indeed. Because St. Athanasius is quite clear, the Arians believe that if they got the Pope, they could basically get everybody. Very interesting, very revealing comment. So let's now move on to the actual account of Ammianus Marcellinus. And Ammianus Marcellinus was born about AD 330, and he died somewhere between 390 and 400. We don't know exactly. Pagan Roman historian, his work Res Geste, if I'm pronouncing that right, for all of you who are fluent in Latin, it means things done. It's a historical work. It provides an interesting anecdote on all of these events, and it sheds light on papal authority. And for those of you who want to know, we will have show notes in the notes for YouTube and all the other platforms we're on. It's from Book 15, Chapter 7, for those of you who'd want to know through audio. So here's the quote from that account. During Leontius's administration, Leontius was a prefect of Rome, Liberius, the Pope, the Christian bishop, was summoned to appear before the imperial tribunal. His offense was resistance to the orders of the emperor and the decision of a majority of his brother bishops in a matter on which I will briefly touch. Athanasius, then bishop of Alexandria, who is persistently rumored to have thoughts above his station and to be prying into matters outside his province, had been deposed from his office by an assembly of the adherents of the same faith, meeting at what they call a synod. It was alleged that being deeply versed in the interpretation of oracular sayings and of the flight of birds, these were kind of pagan practices, they were false accusations as well, he had on several occasions foretold the future events. He was also charged with other practices inconsistent with the principles of the faith of which he was a guardian. Liberius, the Pope, shared the views of his brethren, that wasn't true, but we'll leave that aside, But when he was ordered by the emperor to sign the decree removing Athanasius from his priestly office, he obstinately refused. He declared that it was entirely wrong to condemn a man unseen and unheard, and openly defied the emperor's wishes. Constantius, who was always hostile to Athanasius, knew that the sentence had been carried out, but was extremely eager to have it confirmed by the higher authority of the bishop of the Eternal City. Failing in this object, he just managed to have Liberius deported under cover of night. This was a matter of great difficulty because of the strong affection in which he was held by the public at large. Unquote. So here are some conclusions that I think we can reach from this brief, admittedly brief, anecdote from a pagan historian. We can actually get three facts relevant to papal authority. So the first is that Ammianus, a pagan, was aware of the superior authority of the Pope, and he reports it without any need to explain it. Second, Emperor Constantius, an ally of the Arians, or at least of the semi-Arians, you know, but semi-Arian, Arian, basically the same thing. They're compromising the faith. He was also aware of the superior authority of the Pope, hence his attempt to co-opt Pope Liberius for Arian purposes. Third and finally, Ammianus' reference to, quote, the higher authority of the Bishop of the Eternal City means that both he and Constantius believed, or at least knew many Christians believed, that papal authority was superior to that of at least a synod of bishops, which in this case included and was eventually co-opted by bishops from the East, Arians and semi-Arians. Constantius's behavior subsequent to Liberius's refusal to condemn St. Athanasius seems to confirm this. We'll cover details on that in future papal snapshots, but suffice it to say, Pope Liberius went through a very tough time, and the emperor was not very happy. And I point out one more time, Constantius was the emperor of the entire Roman Empire at this point, so he wasn't just a Western emperor trying to get a Western bishop to do a thing for a Western purpose. He was the emperor of all the Roman Empire, East and West, and he believed that if he got Pope Liberius to go along with what he wanted, he would achieve his aims. And that's what other Arians and semi-Arians believed as well. Very, very revealing. With that, I will again thank all of you who are patrons. Thank you all for watching. We're always trying to make sure we provide very substantive stuff. Your time is valuable. We want to make sure it's edifying, and that's what we hope this podcast is always doing. And with that, we will close with our normal anthem from Psalm 73, 25 through 26. Who have I in heaven but you, and on earth I desire nothing but you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but the Lord is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.